Learned off Lamed Beis in Masechtas Nedarim. We are going to start from the fifth line of the Gemara. Let's just back up for 2 seconds. Fifth line from the top. The Gemara beforehand, we had a Mishnah that talked about how great a Mila is, what the importance of Mila is, and then the Gemara brought the famous story with Moshe Rabbeinu, that when Moshe Rabbeinu was traveling, he did not do the Bris Mila beforehand on his son. He didn't do the Bris Mila before he would travel because he felt it was the Sakana. So then once he stopped, so then the Satan attacked him until Tzipora realized that the reason why he's being attacked is because he didn't do the Bris Mila. She did the Bris. I'm just repeating the pashtus of the Gemara. She did the Bris, and that's what saved him. Okay. In any event, that's the Gemara that we did right beforehand. So that takes us. We're still in the middle of this sugya. That takes us to the middle of the fifth line from the top. Darish Rabbi Yehuda bar Bizna b'shah shenisrasa nisrasha Moshe Rabbeinu min hamila. At that time, that Moshe Rabbeinu was not putting all his efforts into taking care of Bris Mila. Ba'u af v'chema. That came Af and Chema. Af and Chema are the names of two different malachim. The malach of Af and the malach of Chema came. Ubaluhu, and they swallowed him up. V'lo yishayiru mimenu ela raglov. And they only left over his feet. Meaning one malach attacked him from the head down, and the other malach attacked him from the feet up. And they left the makom hamila right in between. Miyad, and so immediately Tzipora realized what was going on by the fact that that's the part that they left out. Vatikach Tzipora Tzur, she took a rock, Vatichreses Arlos Beno, and she cut the Arlo. So she realized, because of the symbolic way the Malachim were attacking Moshe Rabbeinu, she realized that the Bris Mila was the issue. Miyad, as soon as that happened, that she did the Bris, Vayaref Mimenu, at the malachim, I guess you want to call them, the malachim released him. Okay, so that's how, and then we realized that's what was supposed to be done. So Moshe Rabbeinu then turned around and said, they deserve to be killed, because one of the mepharshim say, because habolo hargoi hashken v'hargoi, right? V'hargocha hashken v'hargoi. If somebody's coming to kill you, you have a right to defend yourself. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to turn around and kill these malachim. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Haraf me'af ve'ezoiv chema. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to turn to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, release af and leave chema. Meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to tell Moshe Rabbeinu not to attack them. So we see that Moshe Rabbeinu's intent was to protect himself and to attack these malachim. So that's the first version of the Gemara, that he wanted to, but nothing happened. However, there is another opinion in the Gemara, that those that say, that Moshe Rabbeinu was successful in killing the malach called Chema. Shenemar, Chema ainli, as the pasuk says, I no longer have Chema. I don't have, now it really means fear and anger, but over here the Gemara is taking this to mean in the context of Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to attack and kill the malach of Chema. But the Gemara says, how could that be that Chema was literally killed off? But the pasuk does say, ki igorti, that I was feared, mipnei ha'af v'ha'chema, that I was terrified and I was feared from both af and Chema. So we see that Chema was still alive. And this is talking about, this is talking about after that incident. So that means that the Chema was still around. So the Gemara answers, two answers as we're about to see. Trei Chema Havi. There were two malachim called Chema. So Enochanami, even if Moshe Rabbeinu was able to get rid of the first one, there was a second one, and that's what the pasuk in Tvarim is talking about. Viboy Chema. The second teretz is similar but different. Gundo de Chema. Enochanami, the malach of Chema was no longer, and Moshe Rabbeinu was able to eradicate it. However, the army that followed Chema, so Chema came with the whole army of people of Malachim or whatever it is that were trained or influenced by Chema. So even though the Malach himself, the leader, if you want to see it that way, was Moshe Rabbeinu was able to get rid of, but the army that followed him, Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to get rid of, and that's what the pasuk in Varim is referring to. Okay. Tanya Rabbi Yomer. Rebbe says, "Gedolu milo she'en l'chamish nesasek b'mitzvos ka'avraham avinu." So Mila is so great, but if you put it into perspective, because there was nobody who was busy with mitzvahs more than Avram Avinu, v'loy nikra tamim, and he was not called completed Ella al Shem Mila until he did the Mila. So Avram Avinu was like, let's in our sprach, the way we would say is like the biggest tzaddik ever, and still he was not considered complete until he did the Mila. Shenemar hisalech lefonai. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that if you do this, then you'll be complete. So we see even Avram Avinu wasn't complete until he did the Mila. We see a Mila completes a person. So, interesting, I saw on the side why Avram Avinu was the most mitzvahs. What about Yitzchak and Yaakov? Forget about all the other tzaddikim. But just Yitzchak and why Avram did more mitzvahs than Yaakov and Yitzchak? Okay? So the answer is very interesting that Yaakov and Yitzchak came after the Bris Milah. And doing mitzvahs after you have a Bris Milah, so to speak, again, hard for us to relate to this, but let's just accept the fact, is easier once you have a Bris Milah. Once you have a Bris Milah and we remove the Arla, it's easier to connect to mitzvahs. The godless of Avram Avinu was that he was able to do all these mitzvahs even with an Arla. That's why the Gemara is able to refer to him as the one who did the most mitzvahs, and the sasek for mitzvahs, for him to overcome, right? It's a concept that we're all familiar with, the concept in the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos that says, lufum tzara agro. The more difficult it is, the more schar you get. So for Avram Avinu to be able to do all these mitzvahs, even with the Arlo, that was an achievement that no one else was able to achieve. For us, yeah, sure, there might theoretically in history be somebody who did more mitzvahs, but they did it with a bris, a big deal. You know, it's like it takes away from the hardship of what Avram Avinu did. Okay, anyway, so that we see how great the bris milah is, that now that he was tamim, now he's only called tamim because of the bris. V'ksiv, and the pasuk says, v'etna brisi beini, ubeinoch, and now I'm able to, because of the fact that I put a bris between you and me, between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avram Avinu. Okay, that's the first pshat. Davar achar, another thing that we can relate to is gedol milo. Mila is gracious, shkula, keneged, kol ha-mitzvah shebetayr. That the Mila is the equivalent of all the mitzvahs. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, ki al-pi ha-dvarim ha-eileh, that it says in the Pasuk, that, what are we talking about? That I made a bris, right? That's what the pasuk really is talking about. General, but the pasuk does use ki al pi advar ma'ele. You have to look at the end of the pasuk. Ki al pi advar ma'ele karasi itcha bris. That's Yisrael. That's the end words of the pasuk. That with these things I did a bris. So the first interpretation of the Gemara is that the karasi bris is referring specifically to the bris milah, which makes sense. We do refer to, when we use the lashon of karasi bris, we refer to it as, it's one of the things that, how we refer to the bris milah. So memela, we see that that's keneged kol ha-Torah, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was setting up for the Torah. Davar acher, another pshat is gedolu milah, that milah is also great, she'il mole milah lo neskaimu shamayim va'oretz. That without the bris milah, the world would not be sustained, or the world would not be kept up. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "Im loy brisi yom v'layla." If I did, I would not have created day and night if not for the fact that we did a bris. Now that is the first pshat in the Gemara. Pligi de Rabbi Eliezer, but Rabbi Eliezer argues on this pshat in the pasuk. Dama Rabbi Eliezer, the Rabbi Eliezer says, "Gedei l'toyro." No, it's learning Torah itself that the pasuk is referring to. She'al mali Torah l'niskei shvayi v'aris. Without the learning of the Torah, the world would not be sustained. Shenemar. If I didn't create this bris, I'm referring over here, the way Rabbi Eliezer learns, is the bris over here is the bris of Torah, is the fact that we keep the Torah with the chukais. I would not have created Shemayim va'aretz. If not for the fact that I knew that Klal Yisrael was going to sustain the Torah, I would not have created the world in the first place. And then the Gemara says v'goymer, which, by the way, this v'goymer is fascinating. Because that's the end of the pasuk. Now, normally we have the Gemara where the Gemara only quotes part of the pasuk, and then we have the Gemara means finish the rest of the pasuk. But over here, the Gemara actually quotes the whole pasuk. So, what's the Gemara? All right. So the Gemara though continues and says, "Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav." At the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu, oh, do this and then you'll be complete. So Avraham Avinu got very scared. Amar Shema Yesh Bi Davar Maguna. Maybe there's something wrong with me. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to say, oh, you do this, now you're okay. But that sounds like, until now there was something missing. However, Kivon She Omar Loi Ve'etna Brisi Beini Ve'Noach Niskari Radaitoi. But once HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, and this will create a special bond, special bris between us, then Avraham Avinu was cooled off, is literally the translation here, but he felt much better. Because he realized that it wasn't that there was something necessarily missing before, and this was just another, this was a higher level. There's good and then there's better. But good doesn't mean there's anything wrong. Good is, yeah, Avraham Avinu was good, but now, so he thought that, okay, I mean I was missing something. He says, no, not because you were missing something, now I can even go up a level. Okay. Then the Gemara continues and tells us, I think, a very famous Gemara. The Kodesh Baruch Hu took him outside. What are we talking about over here? I'm on the front of Rabbeinu Shalom. So Avraham Avinu said to Rabbeinu Shalom, said to Hashem, when he, by the Brisbane of Sarim, Histakalti b'mazel shali. I looked at the mazel. We're going to skip the brackets. Omar, and I don't have any children. So who's going to yarshin me? So Omar lois, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, say, me'estenignos shalcha. Go out of the mazel. Ein mazel Yisrael. There's no mazel. So, now, go out of your mazel means, I'll just, you know, there's lots of pshatim on Ein mazel Yisrael, as we can all understand, because we use the concept of mazel tov all the time. So, there's, as I said, there's many, many answers to what, when we are, have mazel, when we don't have mazel. But let's just say the simplest, or I think not the simplest, but one of the pshatim that will work for us is that we are not bound by mazel. In other words, a pshat in mazel in the context of this Gemara is that we are not bound by mazel. I think that's how the Ran learns, actually. That yes, it's not that we don't have mazel at all, but we are not restricted or limited by our mazel. A guy has his mazel, he is subject, so to speak, to fate. Whatever that means, that's what's going to happen to him, and then he's going in that direction. He's in that path, and that's what he's going to do. For us, we are not limited. That's exactly why Kadosh Baruch Hu says you could go beyond your mazel. Yes, your mazel says one thing, but I'm going to change you in a way. In a way that if you do tefillah, you daven, you learn, whatever it is, you make yourself into a different person, then you're not subject to your old mazel. You could change your mazel. That's one of the pshatim, as I said. There are many pshatim. There are those that distinguish between financials versus gashmius and ruchnius. There are those that say that it applies in certain situations. There's mazel versus other things that there is no mazel. This, as I said, there's a lot of different truths and a lot of different approaches, and even within each teretz, there's, you know, you can make the distinction a little bit different here and there. In any event, but this, based on the simple pshat in our Gemara, and that's why, I don't know if simple is the right word, but the way, the flow of the Gemara, I should say, is that over here what he was saying is, even with your mazel, you can go beyond your mazel. You're not limited and subject to your mazel. So using the phrase of mazel tov still makes sense even for us. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, kol ha-masmim asmai. Anybody who makes himself, tries to make himself perfect, HaKadosh Baruch Hu masmim imoy. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats him as perfect also. Shenemar im chasid tis chasid. If you're going to be a chasid, then I'll treat you like a chasid. Im gavar tamim titamim. And if you're going to go for trying to be perfect, then I'm going to be perfect with you also. This is a good thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to treat you on a higher level. Amar Rav Hoshea, kol ha-matmim atzmai, anybody who makes himself, who's trying, now we're going to say like this, is trying to achieve perfection, sha'aymedes loy, the time will wait for him. What does that mean? That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you the time to allow you to achieve it, or to give you certain things that you're able to achieve in that status. Shenemar, yisarach lefana, v'yesamim. That on the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you'll do this and then you'll be perfect. V'ksiv, and then after that, now that he completed himself, you'll now be able to be the leader of many nations. Until now, Avraham Avinu was only a ruler over a small, you know, few subjects. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Av Amon Goyim, he's going to be the leader of many, many nations. Okay, so that is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. You, you took care of this, so I'm going to give you more because of that. I'm a Rebbe. Kol hamenachesh loy nachesh. Anybody who relies on divination, I think is the way they translate it. Anybody who relies on trying to look into the future with the tools, with the not the ruchniyastika tools, loy nachesh, so then those things are going to happen to him. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, ki loy nachesh b'Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu is not really subject, is not supposed to be doing the nechoshim, not supposed to be doing these divinations, these things. Okay, so therefore, then he's. But if you do, then you're subject to it. In other words, we're not just like we don't have mazel, we don't have nachesh either. By the way, this is the flip side of the. We don't have mazel, and we don't have nachesh. We're not subject to these things. The Gemara says, but first of all, the raya that you're bringing is from a pasuk. V'habalamet aleph ksiv. The pasuk that you're bringing says ki loy is spelled lamed aleph. Which means that we don't have nachesh. We're not subject to nachesh. So what do you mean that if you follow those things, if you chase those things, you're going to be subject to it? So why is that true? The Gemara answers, Elam ishum mida keneged mida. Anachanami. You're not going to be subject to it the way a guy is subject to it, because that predicts, and therefore the prediction has to come true. It's just that if you're going to be following these things, you're going to be living that lifestyle, so then you're going to get mida keneged mida. It's going to add up that's what kind of thing is going to happen. If that's what you're busy with, then that's what's going to happen. And mida keneged mida goes, of course, both ways. For the good, it goes for the good, and for the bad, chas v'shalom. So we see that, so that's why these things happen, but not because you're really subject to the nechesh. Tani avua berei de Rebbe Zeru. Kol odom she'ena menachesh, any person who doesn't try to figure these things out, machnisen ha'isai b'mechitza, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring him ultimately into a special place, she'afilu malchei asharis en yichon l'dikonis b'soicha, that even malchei asharis can't get in there. So it's a higher level than they are able to achieve. Shenema, that's by the way, this is very important, this is what the Emek Dover, when in his pshat, in why you can't use nichush, he brings this Gemara as a raya. He says the problem with nichush is, even let's say we believe that it works. Not the machlek is presented, but let's say we believe that it works, and a mamish, if I find out something, I can rely on it's true, and it might work. But the difference is that it will be limited. I'll be limited. The bad type of, in other words, you can do things, you could take the shortcut, this is the shortcut, so to speak, but the shortcut will limit you to how much you can achieve, whereas if you go through the ruchnius, there is no limit in how high and what you can achieve. Ruchnius, when you, a nevuah, there's no limitations of what nevuah can tell you. Whereas if you go with a nachesh, yeah, you'll find out this piece of information. You'll find out a piece of information. But this is the way the Emek Dover explains that's why nachesh is the chesaron, so to speak, for those of you who need it to encourage you not to use it. He says the nachesh is very limited and very limited in what it can do. Yes, it can do much more than the average person. It can take us beyond information that we have in a natural way. But once again, it's only limited to that information. Anyway, so therefore, again, based on this Gemara, we see that a person who doesn't rely on those type of things could then go beyond where Malachim can go. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, ki loy nachesh b'Yaakov, loy kesem b'Yisrael. The pasuk says that there's no such, we don't do this in Yaakov, and we don't kesem is another way of these divination, relying on the bones and relying on these, you know, what we refer to as the crystal ball, so to speak. We don't rely on these things. So Mamela, Mamela, we can go beyond where the Malachim can take us. Okay. Fine. Oh, Rabbi Avua. Omer Rabbi Eliezer, mifnei ma nenesh Avraham Avinu v'nishtav v'vanu l'mitzrayim asayim v'esar shonim. Why was Avraham Avinu punished that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that now your children have to go into Golis for 210 years? So the answer is, mifnei she'osa angaria b'talmidei chachamim. Because he conscripted Talmidei Chachamim, he used them in a place that they weren't supposed to go, he took them into the army. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Vayarek es Chanichav, Yilidei Beisai, that he pulled in He pulled in those people, Chanichav, those who were learning from him, the people of his house. This is talking about when Avraham Avinu went to fight the four Malachim, after the four Malachim beat the five Malachim, and Lot was captured. So Avraham Avinu went to redeem, to capture Lot. But the way he did this was he conscripted the people of his house into the army. And that was not, he was not supposed to do that. So he took Tamid HaChachamim in, Samamelo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that therefore his children have to go to Mitzrayim. Shmuel Omar, Ibnei Shehifriz Amidoysa. Shmuel gives a whole different tarot. Is because he wasn't careful with how he addressed his Midoysa of Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how he addressed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hifriz means that he let it loose. He was too loose in his covered with Hashem. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, B'ma Edok Yirushenu, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him that his children are going to Yarshin, Avraham Avinu's response was, how do I know? How do I know I can trust you? Now that kind of response to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, for somebody on Avraham Avinu's level, that was inappropriate, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, well, this is what's going to have to happen, so I could prove to you that one thing is going to lead to the next. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Shehifrish B'nei Odom L'Yikonis Tachas Kanfei Hashchino. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the reason why they had to go to Mitzrayim is because Avraham Avinu made it so that certain people were not able to be influenced by him to become, so to speak, to be tachas kanfei hashchina, to become yidden, to become influenced by in the recognition of Hashem. Where is this? Shenemar tainli anefesh varuchush kach loch. That when after he won the war, then he was being offered the rewards, the spoils, and the booty. So he said, but who was it? The king said to him, I forgot who the king was, but he said to him, Saddam, said to him, you take, just give me the people and I will take, and I'll give, and I'll pay you whatever you want. Now, Avraham Avinu, as we all know, famously said, I don't want anything. I don't even want a shoelace, and that's where the mitzvah of tefillin comes from and so on. But the fact that Saddam was offering a compromise and some reward, Avraham Avinu could have taken the people. That's what the Mefarshim say. He could have taken the people, even though that's not really, Saddam never offered him the people. But Lamaisa, he was in the position of control. He had all the leverage in the world. He could have taken the people. Now, had he taken the people, he would have been, and they lived with Avraham Avinu, he would have been able to influence them to the Shemaim. And Mamela, the fact that he didn't take the people, that was a chesaron that therefore Klal Yisrael had to go through Mitzrayim in order to be ready for Kabbalah Satorah. Gemara says, Vayorek es chanichov, Yelidei Beisoy. So Avraham Avinu took the people from his house to fight the war. So what does this mean? Rav Omar Shahirikon Betayra. So Rav says that what he did was he emptied the Torah to them. He gave them all the Torah so that in their schus of the Torah they were able to win the battle. Shmuel learns it more literally, so to speak, in the fact that he bribed them. He says he gave them a bunch of gold, and that's how he encouraged them to be able to join him on the battlefield. Then the Gemara says, so Rav says Shairikim B'Torah emptied their studies, meaning I'm translating more in the positive. The Gemara later says. The Gemara later talks about the fact that it was a negative that he took away them away from the Torah. But Rav is saying, I'm translating the Gemara over here to say that Rav was trying to say how he brought them into battle.
Okay, that's
Iran.
Okay.
Okay.
We're asking
for
to run as a
footnote.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Anyway, so then the Gemara says, Shmoyda Osir Vashalish Meois. There were 318 soldiers that came with Avraham Avinu. Amar Ravami Bar Abba. Eliezer Keneged Kulam. That Eliezer was equal to all 318. So there was Avram, Eliezer, and another 318. But Eliezer was the same as those 318. Ikadamri, but there's another version that Eliezer was those 318. Eliezer who? Techoshvinu Hachi Yahweh. Because if you make the cheshvin of what the gematria of the name Eliezer is, then the gematria is 318. So just to do the quick math, the resh is 200, okay? The ayin and the lamed is 70 and 30, that's another 100. So that's already 300. Then you have the aleph, the yud, and the zayin, that's another 18. So 318, that's the gematria of Eliezer. Very simple. So that's where the number 318 comes from. Bamar Avami, Bar Abin. So now we're going to quote a few things from Ani Bar Abin. Ben Gimel Shanim Hikar Avram Es Boiroi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Avram Avinu was 3 years old when he first came to the recognition, the realization of Hashem. Shenemar Ekev Asher Shoma Avram Bakali. This time that Avram Avinu realized who I was. Cheshboinoi. What does the word Ekev mean? It adds up to Me'ev Eshivim Betrein is 172. Now the Ran fills in that Avram Avinu lived till 175. So that means if he was listening to Hashem for 172 years, that means the first 3 years he wasn't. So that means he was 3 years old when he started to come to the realization that there was Hashem. Just so that you know, the Rambam famously argues and says that Avram Avinu was 40 years old, not 3 years old. What does he do with this Gemara? So there are many different ways, and of course, as you can imagine with the Rambam, there's always many explanations where he got this from. The simplest that you should just know, because it's important to understand this Gemara, is that by 3 years old, Avram Avinu realized that it wasn't Avodah Zarah that was running this world. He realized that there was something. He just couldn't, so to speak, on his level as a three-year-old, again, his three-year-old is not our three-year-old, but on his level, he wasn't able to come to the full realization. So when the Rambam says that Avram Avinu was 40 years old, that means when he finally chapped 100% that it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all respects that ran the world. And not, you know, even though he came to the realization it wasn't Avodah Zarah and he knew that something was going on, it took him that much time to develop in a way that he understood and was able to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way we understand Avram Avinu ultimately was able to relate to Hashem. Even though, but still, that doesn't argue on our Gemara. Our Gemara says that he first came to this knowledge at 3 years old. Now we're going to go to the top of Lama Beis. Hasotan b'cheshboine tlos mea v'shitin v'arba. So the word Satan, the gematria, is 364. And that's all the Gemara says, but the Ran fills in, and again, this is also another famous Gemara that I think we've all heard before, that the Satan is only able to complain about us for 364 days of the year. One day a year, the Satan is quiet, and that one day is on Yom Kippur. And by the way, the Mepharshim say, not only is he quiet, but he also sings the praises. On the one day a year, the Satan sings the praises for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the question that everybody asks is that on the lunar calendar, there's only 354 days. So what is the cheshbon of 365? So the answer that I saw was Enachanami. But the reality is that over the course of 19 years, the lunar and the solar calendar match up with all the leap years and so on and so forth, so that over the course of 19 years, there is a cycle of 19 365s. So therefore, over the course of every 19 years, there will be 19 times that the Satan will not be able to speak. So Enochanami, it might not work out mathematically exactly the same distance number of days the gap might not be the same number of days, but 19 times over the course of 19 years, the Satan can't speak, and those 19 times will be the on Yom Kippur. Okay, then the Gemara continues. Vamar Rami Bar Abba. Ksiv Avram. Originally Avram Avinu's name was without the hay. Ksiv Avraham. And then eventually Avram's name was changed to Avraham. B'tchilo hemlicha HaKadosh Baruch Hu al-Masayim v'arba v'shalosh e'barim. Originally Hashem gave Avram Avinu control over 340 of his limbs. But eventually, once he changed his name, originally it was 343, then eventually became 348, the additional five, which are Elohim. What are the additional five? Shtei Einayim is two eyes, Shtei Einayim is two ears, Rosh HaGvia and the tip of his aver. Okay, these are the things that are natural, that so to speak, we have outside influences that impact us. Your eyes see what they see. Your ears hear what they hear. You can't control what your ears hear. They hear what they hear. And the Rosh HaGvia is the taiva, which leads a person in a different direction. Right, the Goyim have an expression for that, that think with your head. So we have over here the Avram Avinu, once he was changed his name to Avraham with the hay, So then, Anachanami, he was able to control these also. So even those things he was able to use for Ruchnis. And the Gemara continues, Vamar Rami Bar Abba, Maidach said, what does the Pasuk mean? Ir Ketana Va'anoshim. There, okay, so you have to really read the entire Pasuk. Or the Gemara is going to go through all the words of the Pasuk, even though the Gemara, as you see, it says the Gemara. You have to finish the rest of the Pasuk in order for it to make sense. We're going to go through all the words of the Pasuk, what we're referring to. It says, Ir Ketana Zaguf. A little city, that's your body, that's what your neshama is captured in their body. Va'anoshim Ba'ma'at, but there's only a few men. Elu Eivarim, that's your limbs that are make up the body. Ubal Amel Gadol, and then a powerful or big king comes. V'sabavai Soi, and surrounds the city. What is that talking about? Zeh Yetzahara. That's the Yetzahara. Yetzahara is coming from the outside and trying to influence the body to do things. Ubano Ale Mitzudo V'Charamim, and it builds, and he builds. Not only that, the Yetzahara gets inside and he starts building, fortifying it, and builds mountains and builds towers inside the city, which starts to take over the city. Elu, so what's this referring to? Ela Avoinus, these are your Averis. Your Averis begin to mount up and start taking control of the person. Motzaba Ish Misakein, and then there's this old man that comes, the Chochem, and he's very smart. What's this referring to? Zay Yetzer HaToiv. That's your Yetzer HaToiv. That's very smart and knows how to deal with this. Umolat Hu Esair. Again, these are all, as I said, we didn't quote the whole Pasuk initially. Now we're going through the words of the Pasuk. Umolat Hu Esair. And he saves the city, B'Chochmosai, with his wisdom. What's the wisdom? Zu Tshuva Umaisim Toivim. That's by doing Tshuva. So the Yetzer HaToiv tells you, go ahead and do Tshuva, and then that will save your whole city. But then nobody's going to remember, and that's the end of the pasuk. Ahu de b'shas yetzahara. This is talking about at the time the yetzahara takes control over the person. Less the mad kirdei the yetzer type. Nobody even remembers that there's a yetzer type. So this is very interesting. The midah of the yetzahara is very different than the midah of the yetzer type. The yetzahara, notice it says that when the yetzahara takes over, the yetzer type disappears. Why? Because the Yetzer Hara will stay involved even when a person is doing a mitzvah. The Yetzer Hara tries to you don't have to go so extreme, you know. The Yetzer Hara is always kind of, even when you're doing the right thing, the Yetzer Hara is still there trying to influence you in a way that you should not do it in the best way possible. Whereas when a person does an Aveira, when they decide they're doing an Aveira, whatever it might be, the Yetzer Hara doesn't fight. The Yetzer Hara doesn't fight the battle head on with the Yetzer Hara. This is a very interesting that the Mefarshim point out from the way the Gemara addresses this point. And literally, the Yetzer Hara is nowhere to be found. Once a person decides and is doing the bad Avera, they do the Avera. We don't try to stick in a little bit good while we're doing the bad. Okay, obviously, there could be exceptions to the rule, but that's the general rule of how it works. So the Gemara says, HaChochma Ta'oiz L'chochma me'asar shalitim. So the chochma, what's the chochma that will be strong over ten shalitim, over 10 things that control you? A chochem toyes l'chochma. So what is this referring to? The chochem zut shuva umaisim toivim. That is that once it's going to overpower even 10 times its power, so to speak. The chacham can outwit. That's by doing tshuva. By tshuva is an incredible thing that it's much more powerful. It's able to overcome a much more powerful force. It can overcome the tshuva, and the yetzer toiv can overcome 10 controlling factors, which are shtei enayim, the two eyes, or shtei esnayim, like we talked about before. Your eyes and your ears, they see and they hear things that they can't control. Shtei yadayim, and your hands do the acts. Shtei ragayim, your feet take you to the wrong place. Roisha gviya, and the aver, upeh, and the mouth. Although some of Farshim say, instead of the word peh, they say the libo, it's your heart. But the girsa that we have in our Gemara is, the girsa that we have is the word peh. So these are the 10 things that a person doesn't necessarily have control over. It comes along the Yetzer Toiv and is able to outwit the Yetzer Hara. Now, so one other thing that I found very interesting that the Gemara over here says, why does the Yetzer Hara have more power than the Yetzer Toiv? Right?
Why is he doing good?
So we all know, and I thought this is very interesting. I happen to have found it very interesting when I saw this rush. And the Mefarshim point this out, that according to the way that we all know that when a boy becomes bar mitzvah, he gets his Yetzer Tov. So the way it works is that your Yetzer Hara grows like a baby, like a child. It grows and grows as a person grows, the Yetzer Hara grows. And so, but the Yetzer Tov is, so to speak, born when a person is bar mitzvah. So Anachanami. So the Yetzer Tov is always 13 years behind the Yetzer Hara. Now, as a young child, the 13-year difference makes a big difference. But as you get older, the Yetzer Tov, right, at a certain age, when you're 70 and someone else is 83, you don't look at the person and say, oh, you're in a different category, I don't talk to you anymore. When you're 10 and someone else is 23, you look at them, they're not on the same level. Right? But eventually, it never catches up, but the difference is not as great, so to speak. So the Yetzer Tov is always, this is what the Rosh says, I found it very interesting, that the Yetzer Tov starts growing when you're 13. That's when it comes behind. So it's always a little bit behind, but again, it does, that's what the Gemara over here is saying, is that the Yetzer Tov, the Chochma, is able to outwit the Yetzer Hara. Originally the plan was that the Kohanim were going to stem from Shem, from the son of Noach, Shem. That's where all Kohuna, so all nations would have been able to tap into the concept of Kohuna. Shenemer, v'hu koyin le'el olyon, that when this is talking about Malki Tzedek, right, so he came from Shem, he was Shem, that he was gonna be a Kohen to Hashem. However, Kivan Shekht in Birchas Avram, the Birchas Amokim, but then after the war, when he gave a bracha, he gave Avram Avinu a bracha, before he gave a Kodesh Baruch Hu a bracha, Hoitzi me Avraham, Hoitzi me Avram. So then Hashem decided that Kohuna has to be a little bit more closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that can only come from Avraham Avinu. Shenemar, it says, this is where Shem made the mistake, Vayivarucheu. First he said, bless Avram that he was able to save Lloyd, that he deserves a bracha. To Hashem who owns the earth. And then also to a bracha to Hashem. So by the fact that he placed Avram Avinu before Hashem, so that was not appropriate again for someone on that level. But Avram Avinu answered, why would you praise the slave before you praise the master? So, therefore, Avram Avinu realized that Hashem should have come first. Miad nasna la Avram. So then, Hashem gave the concept of kahuna specifically to Avram. Now, even though Avram, of course, comes from Shem, but we relate and we correlate kahuna to Avram Avinu. Shenemar noom Hashem la Adoni shev liyamini ad ashes aivecha hadoim l'raglecha. That Hashem said to be the master, that I will return, that because I placed your enemies down at the bottom of your feet. And it says, Nishba Hashem, that Hashem swore, v'lo yinachem, ata kohen le'el olyon al divarasi. Fine. On the fact that he spoke. Malchei Tzedek, al divarasi, so Malchei Tzedek. So, on the words of Malchei Tzedek. So the Gemara Darshan, so what do you mean? Now there's a din of kahuna because of the words of Malchei Tzedek. So the Gemara Darshan is exactly what we just said. Al diburei shel Malchei Tzedek, on what the words of Malchei Tzedek was, that is what caused that there should be kahuna, that Hashem promised to Avraham Avinu kahuna. V'hainu d'chsiv, and that's what the pasuk means, v'hu kayein le'el oyoin, that he, Malchei Tzedek, and i.e. Shem, was a kayein. But we darshan based on this, who koyin ve'en zarei koyin, that he himself was a koyin, but his children are not going to be koyhanim. Why? Because now the lineage of kahuna is going to come directly from Avram Avinu. Now, again, Avram Avinu is a descendant of Shem. So Shem still had, indirectly, so to speak, had kahuna. But we don't give the credit to Shem. We give the credit to Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is the one who who channeled the kahuna as opposed to Shaman. That's why other nations don't have kahuna the way we have kahuna. Hadron aloch arban adarim, that's the end of the third parak. Let's just do the Mishnah quickly, take to the bottom of the Yomid. New parak, new idea. So, the Gemara says like this. Ein bein hamoider hano mechaveiroi, lemoider haimenu maichu. There's no difference, we'll see, this is like double negative, so you just pay attention for a second. There's no difference if I make a neder that I'm not going to give any hanot to this person versus if I made a neder I'm not going to give him food. So what's the difference between, because obviously food is a very important hanot, what's the difference? Eladrisas haregel. The difference is when I say hanot, it includes the iser. I'm not even going to allow the person to come into my property. The and also that I can lend him, that I can relate to him with kelim that have nothing to do with food. So for example, what does that mean? So if I make a neder that I'm not going to give him eat food or something to eat, so lo yashilenu napo, I can't give him a sifter, the kavro, there's also a different type of sifter. The rechaim, a mill, the tanner, or an oven. So I can't give him food, things that are related to food, which is, by the way, the Ran points out that the reason why the Mishnah gives these examples is because obviously if I say I'm not going to give him food, I'm not going to give him a pot to cook it. But these are so to speak secondary. So you might think they're not included in the nether. So that's why we point out these utensils, because they're so to speak one step removed. Even so, if I say I'm not going to give you any food, I mean anything that will bring you to get to food. So these kalim are going to be awesome. Avol, mashaloi choluk, I can give him a shirt, the tabas, a ring, the talis, or a talis, which is a garment in general, the nizamim are rings, right? So these things have nothing to do with food. So if I make the neder that I'm not going to give you hano, I can't give you these things either. I can't give you anything that's going to give you a benefit. But if it's just a matter, I'm asering just food, so then it's only going to be the food and things that relate and the utensils that get you to the food. The Ran also does point out, that's important to mention, that the reason why the Mishnah gives these examples was just to illustrate something different than the original. The original food examples were the sifters and the mill and the oven. So now we give examples of a shirt and so on and so forth. But it's not really specifically these things that are mutter. It's really anything that's just not food related. Okay, that's the Mishnah. So now we'll just do 1.5 lines of the Gemara and we'll stop over there. Man Tano, who is the Tana of our Mishnah that says that when I aser hano includes even walking through my property? Amar Rav Ada Barahava Rabbi Eliezer. It's Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, the Tanya we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer Uimer. Eliezer says, Afilu Vitor Aser Bemudar Hano. Even those things that I normally wouldn't care about, that I relent and I wave, I don't care, those things are going to be aser if I make you aser Bahano. So, for example, the Ran gives an example up front. He says, normally, right, the famous example is when I give a baker's dozen. So normally, even though you're buying 12 bagels, I'll throw in the 13th. I'll give you that extra free bagel. So that would be, if I make an Isser Hano, then I'm not allowed. So even though it's something I wouldn't care about, and it's not really necessarily in the realm of a full benefit, because it's sort of normal, that would not be permitted. If I make a nether that I'm not going to give you Hano, so then I cannot give you that extra piece. That would be considered giving you a hano, even though it would be normal in the natural way, in the ordinary course of business, I would normally do this. But since I cannot give you hano, I cannot give you that extra thing. Then the Ran talks about, what is this idea of drisus regel? What are we talking about over here? We're talking about walking through a person's property. Drisus regel means just walking through. Now, normally, we know that walking... So just to put things in perspective, Rabbi Eliezer, by the way, the Gemara's point, just to get back to the point of the Gemara, the point of the Gemara was that only Rabbi Eliezer holds that Drisus HaRegel is going to be Aser. The Rabbanan argue on Rabbi Eliezer. That's why Rabbi Eliezer is the Tana of our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah says Drisus HaRegel is Aser. But the Rabbanon, on the other hand, say, no, Drisus HaRegel, what? I'm not taking anything from you. The fact that I'm walking on your grass, I mean, that's not really you're giving me anything. So that, according to the Rabbanon, would not even be usher. That type of hano would be so indirect that it would not be considered usher. Okay? So now, if that's true, so then the Ran, and we'll finish off with this, the Ran has a question, because we know that normally when you have two partners, you have Shutfin, then they are not, they're not makbid on one another for the other person to stay in their property. So then what would be the point of the Gemara over here? So that, in other words, sorry, that, so we see, but for somebody else, so my shutif, maybe, I don't care if my partner is sitting, right, me and, he and I own a land, a piece of property, so I don't care if my partner sits on the property. So what is the chiddush of the Gemara over here? So obviously, a third party, so the chiddush is that a third party would be makbid. The implication is that I would be makbid if a third party does sit on my property. Meaning, even though I don't care, right, so I have my front lawn, if my partner sits on my front lawn, I don't stop them. But if somebody, a third person just walking off the street wants to walk his dog on my property, I'm like, no, I'm gonna stop you. I don't want you to do that. How do we understand the Rabbanon that argue, so to speak, on this Mishnah, and they hold that, no, even if I make a mudra, no, I don't care. What do you mean? A person does care. So the Ran says the difference is there's two things. Ran says a chiddush, which to me I think is a chiddush. He says that there's a difference between sitting on my lawn and walking through my lawn. If a person just walks through, that's not something that I'm makbid. I could be makbid for different reasons because I don't want to create a path and I don't want to create a derech. Okay, fine. But in terms of just walking through my property, I don't really care. That's where the Rabbanan say I don't care if somebody walks through. Whereas, you know, so when somebody walking on the sidewalk takes a step and they walk on my grass, I'm not going to go running out of my house like a crazy man that they shouldn't walk on my grass. Whereas, if somebody sits on my grass and they station themselves on my property, that you're right, 100%. If it's my partner, I won't be makbid on, but if it's a third party, I will be makbid on. So that's in our Mishnah, when our Mishnah is talking about Drisus Arego, our Mishnah is talking about literally somebody walking through. That take a step on my grass, I'm not going crazy. And that's what the Rabbanan hold. That's not really a Hano that's going to be also. Rabbi Eliezer is Mechadish and says, no, even that I'm makbid on. Even that, if I make an Isra Hano, any level of Hano whatsoever, even if it's just a matter of taking a step here and there, the Rabbi Eliezer hold, that's going to be also. And in terms of halacha, the Ran brings down that it seems to be a machlokes rishonim, whether or not we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer or paskin like the Rabbanon. The Ramban paskins like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, and again, I'm just saying this because the Ran brings it down. Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, does not paskins like the Rabbanon that even when I make an Isra, no, that's not makbid on these little things. Okay, we'll stop over here. Mirtz Hashem, we'll pick up from here next time.